facilitating flow of goods slash services, information, and funds. According to the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary, an echelon is a level of supply chain nodes. For example, a supply chain with two independent factory warehouses and nine wholesale warehouses delivering product to 350 retail stores is a supply chain with three echelons between the factory and the end customer. One echelon consists of the two independent factory warehouses, one echelon consists of the nine wholesale warehouses, and one echelon consists of the 350 retail stores. Each echelon adds operating expense, holds inventory, adds to the cycle time, and expects to make a profit. Exhibit 1-5 shows that goods and services flow between various intermediaries or echelons in a logistics network. Exhibit 1-5, flows of information, cash, strategic requirements, and materials/services. The flows include information flows in each direction, cash flows that go upstream, away from the customer, strategic requirement flows that go upstream from the customer, goods and services flows that go downstream toward the customer, direct flows downstream to customers from any given echelon, and reverse flows that go upstream and refunds that go downstream. Each supply chain or logistics network will include just the echelons that are likely to add value for the selected business model, omitting the rest. Note that there can also be flows between participants in the same echelon, such as a distribution center sending another distribution center inventory. Information flows. As shown at the top of Exhibit 1-5, one principle of logistics is that the flow of information should occur in both directions between supply chain partners as freely as possible. This should include automated information transfers, such as data on actual sales in near real time, as well as regular meetings to discuss topics like planned promotion activities to combat the bullwhip effect. Actual sales are called demand flows, and organizations should use demand flow data to better synchronize supply and demand, such as by dynamically altering production mixes to reflect what is actually selling within limits established by production planners. Deliberate, planned communication is an absolutely critical component of modern logistics. Fred Smith, CEO of FedEx, has stated that information about the package is as important as the package itself. Keeping stakeholders in the loop should extend to logistics service providers, for example, giving transportation providers information on upcoming customer requirements. Strategic requirement flows. Strategic requirements for supply chain and logistics strategy come from the customer and flow upstream. The needs of suppliers or manufacturing are a traditional but misleading starting point for supply chain strategy simply because customers have options. When customer segments have very different service requirements, a single supply chain will be unlikely to keep all of them satisfied. It may be necessary to design more than one supply chain, such as one that is fast and responsive but costly, and one that is slow but efficient and inexpensive. Cash flows. As goods and services are sent forward along the network, recipients pay for them and for related costs such as transportation. As the definition of echelon stated, each echelon expects to make a profit. Therefore, each echelon adds to the ultimate cost of the good or service. Exhibit 1-6 shows how the echelons contribute to total product or service costs in a traditional retail supply chain. The gap between the logistics cost and the total cost shows that each echelon builds in a price that accounts for other costs and their profit margin. Exhibit 1-6, cumulative increase in logistics costs and thus total product costs. Source. Adapted from the Handbook of Logistics and Distribution Management, Rushton, Croucher, and Baker. One way to look at this graphic is to see that at each stage of a supply chain, the inventory increases in value. Each echelon adds value by processing goods further, sorting slash consolidating, or getting the goods closer to the customer. Studying a network in this way, to the degree possible, given information that partners share, can reveal areas where logistics is consuming more of the total cost and where it is more efficient. Logistics professionals might not control more than a portion of this process, but they could use information like this for benchmarking purposes and therefore look for areas where easy improvements might be made, such as less costly transportation or less dwell time in a warehouse. Product/service flows. The next set of flows is the primary product/service flows. These occupy the majority of Exhibit 1-5, The flows up to the point of manufacturing are the physical supply flows. The rest of the process involves physical distribution flows. Physical supply is sometimes called a process value chain. Value is created when information on actual customer requirements and demand is accurately and efficiently translated into the right portfolio of goods and services. From a logistics perspective, this may involve purchasing, inbound transportation planning, and supplier relationship management. Distribution is sometimes called a value delivery network. The principle is to design a distribution network that can meet customers' actual service preferences for placement, both time and place, price and product. Logistics might be called on to provide input to product design, design the logistics network, select transportation modes, carriers, and routes, and provide order management and customer management. A principle of logistics is that these inbound and outbound flows need to be integrated. It is important to both see the big picture and then use that big picture perspective to apply common sense improvements. For example, in one case, the same transportation carrier was used for both physical supply and physical distribution transportation. Because of a lack of communication between physical supply and physical distribution, the transportation company was dropping off component parts in the morning, returning empty, and then arriving empty in the afternoon and picking up finished goods for transport. After some replanning, the transportation company dropped off components and picked up finished goods in the same trip, eliminating two instances of deadheading empty backhaul. Using a sophisticated optimization model is not the only way to discover ways to improve logistics. Beneath the main part of the graphic in Exhibit 1-5 are the flows that occur in a direct-to-customer business model or an omni-channel model. These flows could go from any echelon directly to the customer. However, this is a simplification, and Exhibit 1-7 shows how this physical fulfillment model has many permutations. Other methods of fulfillment can likewise be accomplished in more than one way. Exhibit 1-7, Order Channels and Distribution Strategies, Reverse Flows. The final flows in the model are for reverse logistics. Customers can initiate returns, which are then sent back to whichever echelon sold or shipped the goods, or to a third party that specializes in sorting and disposition. Exhibit 1-5 shows that returns can also be initiated by any echelon, depending on contract terms and conditions. A retailer can return defective, damaged, or excess inventory to a distribution center. A distribution center can send goods back to a warehouse, and so on, all the way back to the suppliers. This can be a forwarding process to move customer returns further upstream, or it can be initiated by the echelon's own quality control processes or to return unsold inventory. In most cases, the funds flow is then reversed, sending refunds downstream. In the case of damage caused in transportation, these are called freight claims. Another type of reverse flow is for recycling or waste disposal. These flows may not involve refunds, but the returns often must be accepted without charging any fees to the customer. In this case, some revenue may be generated from recycling or reuse. The primary principle to digest from looking at forward and reverse flows together is to acknowledge the differences between them. The forward flows are often in bulk or full loads, while the reverse flows are usually in much smaller numbers of units. The forward flows involve homogeneous materials or assortments, while the reverse flows may be highly diverse sets of stock-keeping units, SKUs. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a stock-keeping unit, SKU, as an inventory item or, in a distribution system, an item in a particular geographic location. A warehouse storing upstream returned goods in the same way it stores downstream goods would be devoting entire storage base to one or two items on a pallet. Reverse flows often need their own specialized logistics network. Treating this process as an afterthought is likely to result in a large drain on logistics. Reverse logistics needs its own strategy so that the right level of customer service can be maintained at an acceptable cost.